For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. I am Davey Hudson alongside former Titan Denard Walker, and we appreciate you joining us here today as we continue our Meet the Class episodes of Believe in Titans. Today we're talking about fourth round pick Rashad Weaver, defensive end slash outside linebacker from the University of Pittsburgh. We'll discuss what all the Titans are going to be getting from that player, and we'll obviously discuss his legal issue that is really, it's up in the air right now as far as what might happen there, but we will kind of give you the basics, what's the latest there since we've last talked about it. But before we get into all of that, I want to ask, do you believe? And Believe in Titans is presented by BetOnline. The month of June is heating up with a ton of exciting sports action, and BetOnline is where you can find it. From basketball and hockey playoffs to baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures, BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for all your online sports betting needs. So visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. D, I'm in the swing of things, man. I'm loving the NBA playoff action. Been getting in on a lot of the over-unders as it relates to the Brooklyn-Milwaukee series. Also getting into, that Jazz-Clippers series. It just seems like the home team has just been running away with each game, but I don't know. We'll continue to keep up with all of those. I'm trying to learn more about baseball. Thanks to BetOnline, that gives me a reason to get in on the action, as we like to say. But BetOnline, they got what you need. Go check them out today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. D, we're continuing our conversation, talking about this Titans 2021 NFL draft class. But before we talk about that, man, I just want to ask you, dude, how are you feeling? How are you doing?
I'm actually feeling really good. You know, it's just hot, man. It's like 190 degrees down here in Texas. You know, I think we're getting close to 200 degrees. But other than that, everything's fine. If some of this heat can go away, I wish the rain would come back. And that's what I was telling you last week. I'm not going to complain until, June or July hits. Well, I'm complaining now, man. It is
hot. We're in the middle of June, so. Technically, I don't even think summer started yet. So
that's what's scary, man. It feels like it's like 180 degrees down here, man. You can't even go outside. It's so hot. But other than that, everything's great, buddy.
Good. Well, I hope you get a little bit of a cold front to come through. Right now, it's not feeling too bad in East Tennessee. So I'm not going to complain just yet. And if it does, I just go dive in the lake and try to cool off and then hop back on up and keep talking as I get more and more excited about this Tennessee Titans football team as we start gearing up towards the season. I mean, on Tuesday, mandatory minicamp started. So the players are here, man. They're getting some reps in, starting to figure out Mike Vrabel and company what this team is possibly going to look like once we see them take the field. Not a whole lot that has happened from mandatory minicamp. I mean, you've been through those days. You kind of remember. It's not like it's a whole lot to write about or dive into. Something were big news that was going to break, we'd definitely get into it. But no, man, we're going to continue talking about our Titans 2021 draft class. And today we're getting into the fourth round pick, 135th pick overall, Rashad Weaver out of Pittsburgh. This is a guy, redshirt senior, did miss the 2019 season due to an ACL injury, but he was one of Pittsburgh's best players on that defensive line unit. Some argue he's the best player to come out of Pittsburgh from that position group since Aaron Donald. So that's some high praise. I'm not saying he is Aaron Donald or the second coming of Aaron Donald. I'm just saying when you talk with people that follow that Pittsburgh program, they'd say, yeah, he's probably the next best since we've had Aaron in that navy and gold. I think that's or it's more yellow. I'll be
yellow.
Honest.
Yeah, don't say navy. It's yellow. That's that pit yellow. Call it that pit yellow. Got a lot of friends that, you know, they went to the University of Pittsburgh, so they call it the pit yellow. So I guess in the city of Pittsburgh, they have their own version of what, you know, yellow is. You know, like LSU, we call it gold, the purple and gold. But I always thought it was just yellow. But it, again, everybody sees things differently.
It's very true. D, I'll get your take on what Rashad is going to be able to offer this defensive unit. Because, I mean, we've talked about the Titans that last year it was a real struggle on pass rush. You tried to bring in Jadeveon Clowney, Vic Beasley. Neither one of those worked out. So this year you go in free agency, you get Bud Dupree. But outside of Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, a lot of uncertainty still at that outside, that edge rusher position. And is Weaver going to be able to, one, play? Like I said, we got to get into his legal situation. But two, if he is, what type of impact is he going to be able to come in and make once we get started for the 2021 season? Now, as it relates to his legal issue, very quickly, since we last talked, there's not been much news to come out there. What we do know is that right around the time of the draft, Rashad Weaver was accused of being into an altercation with a woman outside of a club late one night, or I guess early one morning, but he had been charged with simple assault. He and his attorney have denied all the allegations that are out against him. He is still expected to have to go for a preliminary hearing, and I want to make sure that I give you the correct date on that because I do know it is at a certain time during the season. Weaver's preliminary hearing is set to take place in Pittsburgh on October 5th, and that will be 2 days after the Titans go and face the New York Jets. It's a situation to where the allegations were he grabbed a woman by the neck. He then pushed her to the ground. When he pushed her to the ground, she hit her head. She went home, but then a few days later said that she was throwing up. She went to the hospital, was diagnosed with a concussion. The reports from witnesses, somebody said they saw him hit her. Somebody said they didn't see him hit her. It's still a lot of hearsay. We're still trying to figure out exactly what happened, but again, Weaver has denied all of the allegations, and at this point, we'll just let the courts determine what exactly is going to come of this situation. Now, D, I do understand why some Tennessee fans are upset, because this was something where you thought you probably would have had your scouts come across before drafting Weaver. Obviously, that didn't happen. Mike Vrabel did say that they've went through their normal evaluation process. They're going to continue to do that, just basically giving a bunch of coach speak, not saying anything outside of the realm. So it is still up in the air whether they actually knew about this incident before they drafted Rashad or not. So I don't know if we'll ever get clarity on whether they did know about it before or not, but that's where we currently sit. And like I said, we'll just wait and see what happens once this thing goes to court. We'll leave that situation there for now. We will go ahead and we will have our conversation as if everything does check out. He is able to play and talk about what Rashad Weaver offers as a member of the Tennessee Titans team and what he can do on this defense, primarily from that outside linebacker, edge rusher position, because he is a guy that is very versatile. When you look at his playing abilities, he's somebody that doesn't exactly necessarily just fit one scheme. You could move him around a good bit and utilize him in several different ways. And so, D, I trust your football acumen more than I do my own. But what?
You trust me?
I trust you, man. I know I got a big ego, but I will defer to you when we're talking
about you have a defensive what? You have players. A big ego.
I have a big ego. I hate to say it.
Oh my God,
As humble as I usually am, I'm the humblest a lot of the time, but I guess in this one situation, I don't know. I feel like being honest today or something. I don't know what it
goodness.
Is.
Oh, my goodness.
Something must be in the water. But, Denard, tell me, my friend, whenever you're looking at Rashad Weaver, what is it about his game that stands out to you? What is he able to offer this Tennessee Titans defense?
Well, first I want to say now, I believe. I definitely believe now. A man of your own words just admitted the truth. And I thank you for that. But on a lighter note, I would like to say this. You know what I love about Rashad Weaver more than anything else, Debo?
What is that, my friend?
I like his middle name. I love his middle name.
Is it Walker?
No.
Or is it Denard?
No.
I have honestly no clue what his middle name is.
You want to know what his middle name is? You didn't do your homework.
I did not. Not as far as middle names and whatnot there.
It's Capone.
Hmm.
Capone. That is a sweet middle name, man. If I ever have kids again, I'm naming my son his middle name Capone. You got to be a bad dude for somebody to call you, hey, Capone. That is, you imagine how many people you know with the middle name of Capone.
Not many. You know, I think a lot of people try to get away from that name after how, how bad of a person Al Capone was. I know he's notorious.
I know a lot of rappers gangster. That go by the name Capone, but I don't know any.
Not many parents are wanting to name their kid.
Those are just made up names. But you know what, D, let me just say this is, man, I get really excited, you know, because there's something special about that fourth round. I don't know what it is about those fourth rounders, but it seems like when guys get picked in the fourth round, they end up having a great career. And I'm looking at Rashad, and when I get a chance to just look at his measurements, 6'5", 270 pounds, then not to mention, you said it best, is versatile. The versatility that he's been able to show over the last 4 years at the University of Pittsburgh is amazing. He is a warrior. He's a beast. And you know who? There's a lot of similarities. Like when I was getting a chance to break him down, one guy came into my mind that I used to love as a player and I played against. And he reminds me so much of Rashad. You remember Adelius Thomas?
I'm aware of him. I'll be honest. I don't remember watching him play.
He was a great player at the University of Southern Mississippi. He was drafted in the sixth round of the 2000 draft by the Baltimore Ravens. And the thing that I loved most, because I played against him, was AT. They used to call him AT. Adelius was a great player. But he was from the sixth round. And what you loved about him was the versatility that he was able to show. He started off on special teams, you know. And so imagine a defensive end, 6'5", just like Rashad, 270, 280 pounds, playing special teams, punt, punt return, kickoff return. That's what you want. That adds value. That adds value to you as a player, which means that's what they look for. The more you can do, the better it is for you, and you will basically, well, I'm sorry, it can translate into a job. That's the way it works. The more you can do, the better it is for you. And when coaches, when they're looking for a player and when they're evaluating them, they're always looking to see, can he perform on special teams? Because let's just face it, when you're a rookie, 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up playing special teams for a few years. Because if you look at the players that he have in front of him, we're talking about, we went on a guy, D'Amico Autry from Indy. You got Larrell, who we drafted last year in the fifth round from North Carolina State, Jeffrey Simmons. Then we talk about versatility. He can play outside linebacker. He can drop back and pass, you know, and you got guys like Harold and Derek. And you remember what I alluded to last week, the way that you learn how to play this game is to look at the player in front of you. They're going to teach you everything that you need to know. So I'm just really excited what he brings to the table, not just his measurements, but the fact that he's smart. D, check this out. You know what I love about Rashad is that he represents what I call a true student athlete. He is a young man who graduated with a dual bachelor's degree in business information system and finance. He's already in grad school at the University of Pittsburgh. So that should tell you he embodies everything that you want in a student athlete. School comes first, your athletics come second. But then let's just talk about his play on the field, D. That's why he was drafted. Why? Because John Robinson and the coaching staff, Mike Vrabel, they looked at not only his versatility, but the potential. And that's what I see when I look at Rashad. D, he's a beast. Let me tell you something. When you watch him on film, I go back to this Miami game, and he was all over the field. And what I love about him is he showed his true athleticism. He showed his power in just one play. And I talk about the film because there was one play in particular in the Miami game 2 years ago, and he's able to basically get off of a block. I didn't see one guy in probably about 15 to 20 plays that I evaluate him that blocked him one-on-one. So he's able to, when he gets his hands on you, he can bull rush you. He can basically run past you, and he's able to do so much. He brings so much to that defensive end position that we felt like last year is where we lacked in production, especially at getting to the quarterback. And he led the ACC in 2 years in quarterback hurries. So again, when I talk about this play when they were playing Miami, his ability to shed off the tackle, get off the tackle, and at the back, who basically was going to turn, he was going in initially, he turns out, okay, he redirects. But when he's able to shed that block, he's able to tackle the running back, because if he don't get the back is going to score. And that's what you want to see. That's called potential to be great. I'm telling you something. I'm very excited about this young man. I know that, you know, he's got a little bit of baggage that he has to deal with from his past. If he comes in with a clear mind and a clear conscience and basically comes in and willing to learn, he can be a very, very great player for a long time.
D, you're talking about our front seven when you're looking at this defensive unit, man. And last year, obviously, the problem was being able to get to the quarterback. And that is a situation to where you talked about the quarterback hurries that Rashad Weaver was able to rack up while he was spending time at Pittsburgh over the last couple of seasons. But I'll tell you this, man. When it comes to eating, I want our defensive ends, our outside linebackers, that just edge rusher position in general, I want them to eat that quarterback, man. But I need these guys jacked. I need them taking in that protein. I need them to get ready to just really feast on these opposing teams that we're going to be playing against. But man, speaking of food, the best bacon, the best steak, the best chicken, and the best salmon you will ever eat won't come from your grocery store. You'll only find it on the family farm and caught by independent Alaskan fishermen. That's why you need moinkbox.com. Moink was founded by an 8th-generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said it's the best bacon he's ever tasted, and I have to agree. And Jamie Simonoff, creator of the Ring video doorbell, invested in Moink. So join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/believe right now, and listeners to this show get free bacon for a year with every box ordered. That's 1 year of the best bacon you will ever taste, but it's only for a limited time. Spelled Moink, M-O-I-N-K, box.com/believe. That's moinkbox.com/believe. Moink meat is so delicious. I love it, and you will too. So go get Moink right now. D, transitioning back to talking about Rashad Weaver and him coming to this team. He's in a situation to where after this year, we're not sure whether Harold Landry will be getting another deal with the Titans. Just currently looking at the way the roster stacked up, he might not be expected to have to start it all this year. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully that Bud Dupree, Harold Landry get through the year just fine. They're playing at a high level, and you're not having to necessarily rely on Rashad to be a three-down player. But on the off chance he does have to step in, do you see him at a point to where he's able to contribute right now? Or is he a guy that you expect to have to get some more work in before he's at that point to where you see him being a quality player for this team?
Well, we all have to put in the work first. That's the first thing that for any player, even if you're a veteran, you still have to put in the work. But let me just say this, D, is in this business, in pro football, it is a business. You never know. You know, take the situation in Dallas. Let's go back about four years ago. There was a young man out of Mississippi State by the name of Dak Prescott that Dallas ended up drafting in the fourth round, 135th overall in 2016.
He was 135th overall too?
Excuse me?
He was 135.
Yeah, okay. The 135th pick in the 2016 overall draft. Now, when he basically came to Dallas, nobody in the state of Texas or the city of Dallas was expecting this young man who had a great career at Mississippi State to come in as a rookie and start. You know, because we already had a great quarterback in Tony Romo, who is a great analyst now for CBS. But, you know, he basically, if I'm Dak, I would have had the same mindset to come in and learn from really a great quarterback that put in 13 years in the National Football League. But again, Tony Romo went down. All of a sudden, Dak Prescott was inserted into the starting lineup. You never know what's going to happen in this league from day one. It's such a game of attrition. It's such a tough game that guys, you know, they get hurt. You know, this one thing that's inevitable in the National Football League, not only just pain, but you're going to see some guys go down. We saw that last year with Taylor Lewan. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. So your mindset when Rashad comes into training camp, and he's in there now for the mini camps, is I got to watch the guy in front of me, because the way it is now is that at any time, you got to get ready. You got to be ready to go. And when I think about Dak Prescott, you look, fast forward a few years later, 5 years? Now, what are you talking about? He's the highest paid quarterback, not only highest paid player in the league now. Rashad, there's a lot of similarities. What I'm talking about, similarities, I like to go back to Adelius Thomas. When Adelius was coming out of Southern Mississippi, a lot of the scouts were thinking a sixth rounder from USM, you know, this guy's going to basically, in about 3 or 4 years, maybe he can develop into a good player. Well, AD end up developing to a Pro Bowl player. He was a two-time Pro Bowl player. In 2002, 2 years after being drafted, he started 12 games for Baltimore. You know why? Because he had a chance to learn from Peter Bulwer and Michael McCreary, who was two of the great defensive ends back in the late 90s and early 2000s. So when he comes in here, the first thing that I would tell this young man, if I'm a coach and if I'm Terrell Williams, who's a defensive line coach, is I want you to mimic. I want you to emulate everything DeNico Autry he's doing. Everything Jeffrey Simmons does, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to follow these guys. I want you to do everything that they're doing. You know why? Because I have to get you ready for day one. I have to get you ready for the game one. That's just the way it works in this business. So he might be a player that we see come September, the first game of the season. He might be inserted into the starting lineup.
Coach Vrabel did have to say while the Titans were having their rookie mini camp that when you were looking at Weaver and how he was performing, because obviously Coach Vrabel was asked about his situation and what it means moving forward from a legal standpoint, but Coach Vrabel didn't really try to get into that. He just wanted to say that so far he is doing a good job, is taking in the coaching, and he's trying to be a good teammate. So obviously that's a good start. Don't really know to expect a whole lot so far. But D, just kind of going back to our conversation just there and talking about, you, obviously we know it could be next man up at any point. You never know when you're going to go down. Rashad's situation in 2019 when he missed his entire season was that was an injury sustained during practice. It wasn't something that happened in the game. So you just, at any moment, you could be thrust into a position where it's like, all right, I got to go and I got to be ready. Yeah. What is it that question out of nowhere, but for some of these guys that you just see come in, they're usually lower rounded draft picks. They are thrust into the situation to where they're having to play at an early position, even though they weren't necessarily expected to at the beginning of, we'll say, camp or of the preseason, but because of injury or what have you, they have to be there. What is it about those guys in particular that is allowing them to be successful? Why do you, like, is there a trait that you can kind of just step back and spot and you're like, okay, I can kind of see why this guy was able to take off when he did? Is there, and I understand no, every situation is going to be different, but.
Yeah, that's why you can't listen to these experts. Because, I mean, you think about it. You know, one of my favorite players of all time was Jared Allen. Jared Allen was a monster, and he, what, one of the best to play defense in, longtime Kansas City, Minnesota Vikings, great career. Guess where he was drafted? What round he was drafted in?
I honestly have no clue.
Fourth rounder in 2004, the 126th pick. Brandon Marshall, 119th overall. Dak Prescott, we already talked about, 135. One of my old, Elvis Dumervil in 2006, 126. Geno Atkins, who played along, still playing for Cincinnati, 128th overall. Jahari Evans. You know what it is, D? Is a lot of times these scouts, these experts, they get it wrong. That's why you find players like Antonio Brown in the sixth round from Central Michigan. Had an illustrious career. You know why? They're hungry. They're hungry. And when you're hungry, D, and you got that grit and you got that fight in you, anything is possible. And I see that with Rashad. He has a lot to prove. He has a lot to prove, and he is underrated. Let me tell you something, D. You just alluded to that ACL surgery. I'm sorry. Yeah, you just alluded to that ACL tear that he had in 2019. But guess what? He came back in 2020 and was a first-team All-American. And a lot of scouts believe he should have been taken a lot higher than the fourth round. But that happens. That's the draft. And I was telling a good buddy of mine, Charles Omenihe, who's a starting D tackle now for the Houston Texans, who was drafted fifth 3 years ago out of the University of Texas. He was drafted in the fifth round. I said, the only thing you want to do is just get in. Okay? That's it. It's kind of like going from high school to college. They got all of these 5 stars, 4 stars, 2 stars, and then the 1 star. But how many times have you seen personally where the 1 star develops into the star player and the 5 star where we never hear from him? We see it all the time. Think about Justin Jefferson right now for the Minnesota Vikings, you know, coming out of St. Rose, Louisiana. He was a 1 star recruit. Now he was a first round draft pick, and now he might be the best receiver in the league or the best young receivers in the league. It happens all the time. And when guys are drafted in the later rounds, they feel like sometimes they have more to prove than guys that were drafted in the first round. And it's just a mindset. That's all it is, D. It's just a mindset.
Yeah, personally, I think a lot of it just has to come down to that opportunity and someone making the most of it when you're presented with it. You never know if you're going to get it again. So if you do have that shot, you have to make sure that you put everything into it. I do think a lot of guys, there's a lot of just maturing some of them have to make, and a lot of times the game just eventually comes to them, whereas at certain positions in their past, something just wasn't clicking mentally, and they've always had the physical tools, but for whatever reason, I mean, they always talk about the game. There's a lot more mental aspects to it than there is from a physical standpoint, and so getting your body to just work in rhythm is something that takes some players a little bit longer to flush out than some of the others. And so once they do have those moments start to click, you then see them take off and the game just comes to them. Now, I know that you do look at some guys that are really highly touted coming out. I mean, I know Derrick Henry was a second rounder, was a guy who won the Heisman, but if you look back to his first year or so in Nashville, you were just like, it's not looking that great.
Not looking good. Ron Tannehill. I mean, yeah.
Louis and coaching.
First rounder, when the Dolphins took him in the first round.
Yeah.
It didn't necessarily pan out there in Miami, but guess what? When he got to Tennessee, look what happened. He took off. Sometimes it's the system.
Yeah.
The system sometimes can make you or break you. I say this all the time, D. If I was drafted anywhere else other than Tennessee, I never would have, and I say this, I wouldn't have lasted so long in the National Football League. Okay. And I'm being honest, you know, if I was drafted, let's say, if I was drafted to Oakland or Minnesota, I don't think I would have panned out. But being able to go to Nashville, playing for a coach like Jeff Fisher, who was a defensive minded coach, a former defensive back at the University of Southern California, a player that was drafted in a 1981 draft by the Chicago Bears, was a punt returner, a really good punt returner. Unfortunately, Coach Fisher got hurt. That's how he ended up getting into coaching. But one of the things that I loved about Coach Fisher, he can take guys like Denard Walker, who were basically raw, who were just players that just, they're late bloomers, okay? And what do? They work with you. They take your talents. They take your weaknesses and they learn how to basically take those and continue to build on those weaknesses. So your weaknesses will one day become your strengths. And when you have coaches that will take the time and to help mold you into a better player, then you can have, you know, that's how guys end up making it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Like, I don't know who Tom Brady is if he's not drafted by the Patriots.
Exactly.
I think he had to have that system. That's the only way. I mean, he had to have a guy that was, one, playing behind Drew Bledsoe, had that system to where it wasn't, everything was focal on the quarterback at the point, had a great defense surrounding him his entire first, like, 15 years in the NFL. So it just happenstance that was the system he was put in, and it was one in which it enabled him to flourish and grow and turn
19 years in one system.
Yeah, to turn into one of the best quarterbacks in the game, so.
If not the greatest of all time. No, don't you say it. But let me just say this. You know, I hear a lot of young players today. It really upsets me when I hear players talk about he's a system player. You know, the system is what made him. Well, of course! It's hard enough to play in one system. That's why you see a lot of players that will get a lot of money and then go to places in free agency and they don't pan out. Because there's always, I don't want to say the cliche because David would get on me, but I will say this, is that's what happens. It's hard enough to make it in one system. That's why you start to see when guys start going in their third system, they don't necessarily pan out. Sometimes you might, the grass is greener on the other side for some players like Ryan Tannehill. You know, and maybe it'd be this for Sam Darnold. I mean, look what happened. He goes to New York in 2000. He's the man. What was it, the third pick in the 2018 draft? The system. But maybe Matt Rhule, he sees the talent in Sam Darnold and says, hey, maybe what I'm trying to do, I can show him a different way. And maybe that's what would end up resurrecting his career. That happens.
Ask you this question on the way out as we're kind of getting up against it. Last couple of years, the defensive ends haven't exactly fared great for the Titans. So is Rashad Weaver walking into a good system that is going to allow him to develop? I know Mike Vrabel's a defensive-minded guy, but I mean, when I look at some of these defensive ends that we've had so far, it's been a struggle for some of them. I think a lot of them haven't played near to their full potential. And so I'll leave you with that. Does that concern you at all? Is that something that fans should be like, hmm?
Time will tell. I'll give you two names. I'll give you two names here. Because sometimes if it's like player after player, then what happens is sometimes the coaching staff will actually change because they will bring in a new coach sometimes to basically get the best out of a lot of young players. You know, that happens all the time. We saw that happen in Cleveland. Here's your old coach. He was out of the door, and then here comes Kevin Stefanski. We talked about who was the coach? Kitchens, Freddie Kitchens. You know, Kitchens was the – I know Freddie quite
sorry,
well.
There's a lot you have to think about whenever you're going through Cleveland's history.
I know. It was so many decade. Days I was thinking, wait, there's been 21 coaches over the past, what, 20-some years. So I was thinking about Freddie Kitchens. He was the offensive coordinator there, you know, in Baker's, what, second or third year. And then all of a sudden, we saw the process. We saw Baker getting better. But he still wasn't where I'm sure the people of Cleveland said we think he should be at. What did they end up going and do? They went out and got a hot name by the name of Kevin Stefanski, who was the offensive coordinator at Minnesota. Now, we know he can coach because we looked at what he's been doing when he was at Minnesota, basically putting up record numbers with Kirk Cousins as his quarterback. So they bring in that young gun, that hot coach that we were just talking about earlier. Bring Kevin Stefanski in, and now, boom, we're talking about Cleveland next year. Probably a lot of experts are saying that they might be the team representing the AFC South in the Super Bowl. The AFC next year in the Super Bowl. And if you're Tennessee, you got to look at two coaches. You got to look at your defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, and you got to look at the defensive line coach, Terrell Williams, and you got to say, listen, coach, we have a lot of talent, but we don't see no production. And in the National Football League, if there's no production at that position, guess what? There will be a change made, unfortunately, at the very top. And that's with coaches and D coordinators. We see that all the time. So, again, a lot of that might have to do with the scheme. I don't know. I'm not inside. But when you go inside, then that's when you can see for yourself.
Yeah, we'll continue to discuss on this throughout the offseason because we talked about it. I mean, the Titans defense this year, they got rid of a lot of their players. And we said, all right, are you going to give us a new defensive coordinator this offseason? Obviously, the team's not played as well defensively since Dean Pease had left. And now you got Shane Bowen put in as that defensive coordinator at that defensive coordinator position. You're looking at what this staff and John Robinson viewed as a personnel issue, not a scheme issue. And so with those guys getting to handpick a lot of their players that are now going to be playing and starting for this defense, we'll see whether it was a player issue or if it was a coaching issue. And that is something that I think a lot of Titans fans are really holding their breath about because I don't see this offense being a reason that limits you to winning. I mean, this offense, if you pair them with a good defense, can easily get you 12 or more wins. Anyone will agree with that. This could be the most electric offense, one, in the history of the Tennessee Titans, and two, in the NFL this coming season. So it's like, can that defense pull their weight, actually be able to put you in a position to win majority of your games and get you, one, representing the AFC South again, and then two, can we get back to that AFC Championship game? And if we do, what happens once we get there? A whole lot to really determine and to play out as we go throughout the course of this offseason, through the summer, once we get into training camp, and then eventually once the season gets here. But it'll be fun, and that's why they play the game, so we can continue to enjoy what they're putting out there and see if it is going to be to the liking of Tennessee Titans fans. I'm most excited to see how Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, and Derrick Henry are able to exploit defenses, but I am most intrigued to see how this defense makes a step from where they were last year to this coming season. And I'll leave you all with that. But we'll be back next week. D, we're going to be talking about a guy from your alma mater in Racy McMath.
Racy.
As we continue our Meet the Class, getting into the sixth-round pick. We only got two guys left to discuss for the Tennessee Titans 2021 draft class. But that is going to do it for us today, Denard. Thank you, as always, my friend. To the listeners, as always, man, we appreciate everything you do for us. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And we hope that you all have a fantastic rest of your week. But for Denard Walker, I am Davey Hudson. You have been listening to Believe in Titans, presented by Bet Online on the Believe Podcast Network. And as always, tighten up.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Believe in Titans on the Believe Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We are available on all your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. And you can follow along to keep up with all the latest Titans information on Twitter at Believe Titans. That's BLEAVTITANS. And hey, if you're interested in advertising on the show, please contact Believe at Believe.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.